Washington Federal Savings versus Algo Inc.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Miles Yannick. I represent Mr. Alan Grant and Algo Inc. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time, if I may. I'm going to begin with the prejudgment interest rule. It is black letter law that prejudgment interest is recoverable, awardable in a situation where the plaintiff is deprived of the possession or use of money or an asset of a liquidated value at the time of the breach.
So I think to answer that question, though, we have to figure out what they actually settled on. And so the settlement term sheet, did they agree to $1 million or did they agree to $850,000?
To begin with that issue then, a bank better than anybody knows that $1 million, a promise to pay $1 million in 5 years with no interest is very different than a promise to pay $1 million today or $1 million in 5 years with interest.
Okay, so you're Washington Federal. You're moving for summary judgment on the issue of damages. What evidence would you need to present for the court to determine the correct amount?
None other than the date of the breach. The part, if you're going to enforce the party, well, the agreement, you need to present
got
the
a term sheet. Sheet.
You've the just, party's written agreement.
We've got a term sheet. You've just told us that $1 million 5 years from now isn't worth $1 million today. I think few would disagree with that. What evidence, without payment, Washington Federal hasn't agreed to a discount. They've only agreed to a discount for cash in hand. So what is their damage amount if they were, at the time they moved for summary judgment in this case, wanting to tell the court, this is the amount we have been damaged as a consequence of the defendant's breach of the settlement term sheet?
Well, just so we're clear, the breach was not of any payment obligation.
It's a material breach not to provide security.
Certainly, and I'm not arguing that. Okay. That material breach.
So what evidence of damage? They don't have any fight on liability. You've breached the contract, so now they're entitled to recover damages. What evidence would they present of damages?
They get the benefit of their bargain. They present the agreement. And that agreement says that a judgment, a payment today, what the parties agreed Washington Federal is owed today, May of 2014, is $850,000. It's clearly spelled out. Now,
if you were seeking specific performance, if I were to go try and sell this paper, what would be the difference in the value of a fully secured note due in 5 years versus an unsecured note?
Well, the breach, so...
Isn't that what we have? Assuming they'd signed the note. They didn't sign the note.
That's correct. And the parties actually didn't negotiate or agree to the terms of the draft note. But I guess I'm not sure I'm following the question.
You'll agree that Washington Mutual didn't get what it bargained for.
It had suffered.
Washington Federal, excuse me. I don't mean
yes. That. And what that allowed it to do is to go into court and seek a remedy, which is the payment still isn't due today, right?
But they're entitled to damages now for a breach. Wouldn't you agree?
Excuse me?
When someone breaches a contract, aren't you entitled to go into court and prove how much you've been damaged as a result of the breach?
And what you get is the benefit of the bargain.
So what's the measure of damages here?
What you get is what you would have received had the agreement been performed.
Okay.
And had the agreement...
That sounds like specific performance. What is the monetary damage formula?
Well, there's no evidence of that. But one thing the court would have to do...
What evidence should there be of it?
If the court were to say, you know what, I'm going to give you $1 million in 5 years, the case law, you get there whether you look at the party's agreement or you go to the case law and say what they have is a promise of $1 million in 5 years. The court would have to discount that to the present day value. What is the present day value of $1 million in 5 years?
But it's still not worth
because they're getting
what
they bargained for today.
They bargain for a secured payment too, and even the present value of $1 million isn't worth as much as a fully secured promise.
Instead, they have a judgment, though. They got a judgment.
That's still not as good. You go to bankruptcy court with a judgment, you're not in the same position as a fully secured creditor.
Well, you are earning 12% interest on that judgment.
Well, if it's discharge in bankruptcy, that's 12% of zero.
Well, now, if we're arguing about that the court should have there was no evidence in the record of what the damages might be of some post-judgment bankruptcy, which had yet not been filed.
It seems to me you've made the wrong argument. The argument you should have made was that Washington Federal has failed to present any evidence of the amount of their damage in their motion for summary judgment, and therefore they haven't sustained their initial burden of persuasion, and it should be denied. But you haven't made that argument.
Well, I was actually just making that argument that it's hard to understand what the argument for damages has been. And it seems to me that they are talking about the fact that they had to deal with things in bankruptcy that they were not expecting as of the time of the judgment. These are all things that happened after the judgment. It seems to me that that's obvious. There was no evidence of what the damages were because it all happened after the judgment. It's hard to even understand the argument that they're making.
This is a contract analysis, right, because it was a contract to settle the case.
Yes.
Is there any case law you know of that talks about discount to present value in terms of calculating contract damages?
Yes. There are two cited in our brief that deal specifically with that issue. One of them is the logging case, where there was a contract to cut timber on land over a period of time, and after it was over, I think, 4 or 5 years.
But that's because you can disagree as to what the value of the timber might be worth, correct? Here, didn't the parties agree that Mr. Grant owed Washington Federal $1 million? And that they would give him some benefit if he paid it off over time, but basically he's saying, I do owe you $1 million. I mean, isn't that what this settlement is?
Actually, he's saying, I owe you $1 million in 5 years with no interest. And that's a material term, and you can see that in the settlement agreement that the parties negotiated this and they set forth a schedule of what payments would we do at what times. Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm David Knoll. I represent Washington Federal. The evidence, Judge Leach, what the damages are in the settlement agreement. It is a crystal clear liquid.
Would you agree that $1 million in 5 years is not worth $1 million today?
No, I would not.
So you'd be happy to hand me $1 million today and let me give it back to you in 5 years and think that you got full value?
And that's what essentially banks do today, Your Honor. I could posit to you a number of economic situations in which the risk of $1 million 5 years from now is not the same today. But that is not, while I disagree with you, it's a very tenuous disagreement. In most instances, I would agree with you.
Would you not be required as the moving party to present evidence that today's economic market, $1 million in 5 years, is worth the same as $1 million today in order to be entitled to summary judgment?
No, sir.
Why not?
Because the agreement says Washington Federal will settle for $1 million. That's in there. The second part of the agreement says if you give us $850,000 early, that's acceptable. That's a secondary, a corollary, and a tertiary term. There's no provision in here that will apply a present value discount.
So to pin you down on this,
sure.
So to go back to Judge Leach's question, for summary judgment purposes, the bank's position is there was no need to do a present value calculation because what is owed is $1 million.
Exactly.
What would have happened if Mr. Grant had made one payment and then breached the agreement?
How much?
Pick $5. Pick a number.
It would have been a breach.
It would have been a breach.
would you then have had to do a calculation about the present value of money? Because how would you know what the damages are? Would
no,
it be $999,500?
The breach was not his failure to pay. The material breach was his failure to provide security. And that, the trial court ruled, was on the 13th of February, 2013. Why that breach was material is because Washington Federal did not want an unsecured position. Washington Federal knew that he was going into bankruptcy because he told us he was going into bankruptcy.
Why then isn't your measure of damage the difference between the defendant's unsecured promise to pay $1 million and his secured promise to pay $1 million?
Because once he goes into bankruptcy, we are an unsecured creditor. Because that's what the agreement says.
Okay, but normally the benefit of the bargain rule applies to breach of contract, and the benefit of the bargain is the value, the difference in value between the performance promised and the performance delivered. The performance promised here was a secured promise to pay $1 million in 5 years. The promise to pay portion of it hadn't been breached because we didn't travel through 5 years of time. Only the promise to secure the debt was breached.
You're correct. And, Your Honor, once that is breached,
How does that make the $1 million due sooner?
Because once there is a total breach of the agreement, the entire $1 million is due.
Why?
Because that's our benefit of the bargain. Once you have failed...
Do you have a case that supports the proposition that the breach of failure to provide... The breach of the obligation to provide security accelerates the debt itself?
Yes, I do, Your Honor.
What case is that?
It's on page 24 of my brief.
Okay, I can find it then.
Okay.
There's no acceleration clause in the settlement term sheet itself, though.
No,
so you're just saying as a matter of law that happens?
Yes. And here's why, Judge Trickey. The failure to provide that security deprives Washington Federal of its benefit of the bargain. And normally... we don't have as clear of hindsight as we do in this case. In this case, what we were afraid of, what we bargained for, is exactly what happened.
We don't get to take that into account in assessing the trial court, because we only review what the trial court had in front of us.
That's correct, Your Honor. And what you need to look at is how the settlement term sheet was written by the counsel who negotiated that settlement term sheet. And it says, I'll pay you $1 million. And then it says, but... if you pay $850, if you get a 15% discount if you pay it in 24 months, you get a 10% discount if you pay it in 36 months, and you get a 5% discount if you pay it in 48 months. All of those, except the last one, have occurred. That's a separate provision. He doesn't get the benefit. He doesn't get to use that benefit since he's breached everything else.
What do we do with the circumstance that the second numbered paragraph about the deed of trust under Washington law wouldn't support a cause of action for specific performance because of the failure to include a number of material terms?
Well, Your Honor, I think First Citizens is clear that all of the provisions in this settlement agreement would provide for the material terms. It identifies the property.
We've got a Washington case in the context of a purchase and sale agreement that lists 14 or so terms that need to be in the deed of trust, identified in the purchase and sale agreement for it to be specifically enforceable. The case would seem equally applicable here. You don't have them.
I disagree, Your Honor. Let me tell you.
You go ahead.
Let me tell you why. That Washington case is applicable, and I could pin all of those 14 terms with paragraph 2. In addition to that, what we have is Mr. Grant's own testimony on clerk's papers 152 and 153 that says, in fact, it was his decision not to provide the security. He could have found other ways to provide the security other than this phantom Don Olmstead, who refused to cooperate as his partner. We had been robbed of the benefit of the bargain, and we'd been done so. It occurred only because Mr. Grant, and he wrote this in a letter to us, he had now been sued by Union Bank, and he decided it was too expensive to pay both Union Bank and the $1 million that he had agreed to pay Washington Federal.
And that's, but that's after the settlement term sheet is signed, right?
Yes, sir, it is.
So
that was the date of the breach.
The date of the breach.
Yes, sir.
So, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Okay. The damages issue, Judge Leach, going to one further, they have to be proved with certainty. And when you get into this speculative discounting contract damages back to present value, you rob the trier of fact or the court of certainty. And that's what liquidated, thank you, damages is all about.
Well, it would have been a lot simpler if this paragraph 1 had said, paragraph F, if defendants fail to perform any of the terms of this agreement, the full amount shall become immediately due at the election of Washington Federal.
Sure. And you know what?
And that's what's in most promissory notes to allow acceleration. And it's troubling that it's not in this one.
You know what, Your Honor? The first deal that Mr. Grant did with Washington Federal was 50-some pages. He breached that agreement, and he found ways to escape summary judgment on that obligation, too. When we settle this document, we're before the, sometimes we're before the court on a one-page document. Sometimes it's 50 pages. What is the court's duty, and this trial court did it correctly, was to ascertain the intent of the parties. And that was, I'll pay $1 million. I'll give you security. If I pay early, you agree to give me the discount. That is all clear. There's an attorney fees provision in there. There's even a default rate of interest in there. And that default occurred, Your Honor.
Should there be in the judgment then a provision that if it is paid before the benchmarks in this agreement that there's a discount on the judgment?
No, because at that time he had already breached, and once you breach, the other remedies flow. That is what we contend was the – you remember the trial court's first ruling was that the damages were $1 million. They were persuaded by a confusing present value argument to reduce it to $850, and that is the error that we claim the trial court made.
Well, let me tell you what troubles me in part about all this. The judgment was entered on June 4, 2014 for $850,000. Simple interest calculation says as of June 14, 2016, there's $1,219,000 owed. Under the term sheet, there wouldn't yet be $1 million owed, which sounds like a windfall of $200,000 to the bank. And you're shaking your head no. Explain why.
Let me explain why, Your Honor. First off, we're talking about prejudgment interest.
No, I'm not talking. This doesn't include the prejudgment interest. This is just judgment interest on the principal amount of the judgment from the date of judgment till June 14 of this year, a year before the $1 million was due.
Once Mr. Grant filed bankruptcy a month after, which is always a possibility, once the bank filed, or once Mr. Grant filed bankruptcy, we were not entitled to post-judgment interest as a matter of law. We did not get it. That's the ruling of the bankruptcy court. And more than that, the reason we're not entitled to post-judgment interest is because Mr. Grant did not give us the security he promised us. That is why it was a material breach, and that's why our damages are exactly what they are as reflected in the trial court's order.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. I don't think there's any disagreement here that there was a material breach and that that's what allowed Washington Federal to go to the court and say, hey, we want our money early. And the only question here is what was the amount that was due early?
Why do they get any money early?
Because they were unsecured.
Why don't they get the damages measured by the difference in value between having security and not having security, for which there's no evidence?
There was never any evidence or never any argument about that.
Your client concedes that Washington Federal is entitled to money early if it doesn't provide security?
Our client, as a practical matter, was prepared not to contest the notion that, hey, we weren't able to provide the security that was negotiated. We actually offered to work out other arrangements. But because we couldn't, we were prepared to live by
the... Does your client concede that Washington Federal is entitled to some certain now or at the time of its motion for summary judgment because your client didn't provide security?
We didn't contest that. We were willing to live by the terms of our...
So that's a yes.
That's we didn't expressly concede, but we did not contest that. We weren't able to provide the security that the parties had negotiated for, and so we were willing to pay.
That's not an issue we need to wrestle with. We only need to wrestle with the how much, not the if. Is that correct?
That is correct.
On that point, I guess looking at the briefing, it's either $850,000 or it's $1 million. There's no other calculation to be made?
That is correct. The $850,000 is... Your Honor asked earlier whether there were cases, and I mentioned the logging case. That was actually a case where future lost profits were awarded, and the court said, no, you need to discount whatever those profits would have been to what they're worth today. The McFerrin case also involved a future damage award that was...
Who has the burden of presenting evidence of the discount?
Well, here you don't have to because the parties agreed to it.
You state in your brief on page 67, you make this argument that the parties agreed to this $850 being a discounted rate. Where is that in the record?
Where is that? It is the...
we have the term sheet with $850,000, but it doesn't say anything that is an agreed discounted rate, does it?
Because they were willing to take $850 cash, that's the discount rate. But that didn't just say when we're determining what's due on a certain date. It also required that the money be on the table. There's a big difference between a judgment for $850,000 and a bag with $850 in cash, $850,000 in it.
Right, and that is why we have interest on judgments. But correct, I'm referring only to the settlement term sheet. Yes.